The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Welcome back, folks. Well, what's a quarter? We are very fortunate to have a member of NABE. Now, for those who are not familiar with NABE, it's the National Association for Business Economics. It's the premier professional organization for business economists and others who use economics in their workplace. They've been around since 1959. They attracted the most prominent figures in economics, business, and academia to its membership. And we are fortunate today to have one of those prominent members with us. We've had him before. He's a great guest for us. Mr. Ken Simonson is with us today. Ken is chief economist at the Associated General Contractors of America. And this morning, he is representing NABE. So good morning, sir.
Good morning. Glad to be back with you.
I'm glad to have you back. Thank you so much. Well, interesting interesting title, I guess, for your most recent report. It said NABE forecasters expect the economy to heat up following first quarter's icy patch. I remember conversations after the first quarter. You guys were pretty optimistic going into this quarter. I guess the optimism remains, correct?
Oh, absolutely. They do expect a rebound in the second quarter, which will be ending in 3 weeks. So we'll get a first reading on that in late July. Specifically, this was a survey of 47 professional forecasters, and the current expectation is that real gross domestic product, where real is econo-speak for inflation adjusted, and gross domestic product is that measure of all goods and services produced in the country net of imports. They expect that to rebound to a 3.5% growth rate in the second quarter. That's well above trend. And then to settle in at just about a 3 to 3.2% growth rate in each of the remaining quarters of 2014 and each of the quarters of 2015. Definitely hanging on.
Yeah, you're looking for, I guess, a very strong economy then. Now, is it going to trend up or is it going to be pretty well flat? It seems to me that so many of our numbers lately have kind of flattened out. Now, I realize everybody got very excited about the jobs report last week. Certainly the market reacted favorably to it when we had 217,000 new jobs. But it seems to me that just the economy, it just seems to be kind of that lukewarm porridge. It's not getting real, real hot. It's not getting real, real cold. Is that what your members saw?
Well, I guess I would characterize this as a fairly calm forecast. They don't see a lot of drama ahead, but generally consistent good news. For instance, they see the unemployment rate ticking down steadily by a tenth of a percent each quarter. They see job creation hanging right about where it is now, around 209,000 every quarter through 2015. And they expect inflation and interest rates also to remain pretty steady, not much upturn.
Now, I noticed in the report that your unemployment rate, like, as you said, is expected to fall to 6.2% in 2014 and fall further in 2015 to 5.9%. At what point down there do we reach a point of full employment? Is it in the fives? It's been so long since it's been there, I don't remember. What number should we be looking for that we're there, we pretty much have full employment?
That's a great question because we are in an era where there seem to be a lot fewer people even participating in labor force, whether they are just staying in school longer or retiring earlier, or they're just discouraged and not even trying to look for work. It's not quite clear if this is just a residual of the really deep and long recession, or it's a more or less permanent change in the economy. So the forecast get to 5.9% annual average unemployment next year, and by the end of the year, a 5.8. That may indicate pretty full employment, but I do think there's room to put more people to work after that.
Now, your industry in particular, I just want to shift just quickly, and then we'll get back to the report, but you represent the Association of General Contractors, and obviously your industry, anything that has to do with construction at all, be it residential or commercial, is a big part of the employment picture in the United States. Are you seeing a more robust return to employment throughout your own personal members of the AGC?
We're seeing a growth, but it's still somewhat fragile and fragmentary. For instance, on the residential side, you know, there have been a lot of weak numbers on housing starts, permits, home sales for both new and existing homes throughout the first 4 months, and we're going to start seeing May figures in the next week. At first, a lot of people blamed it on extremely bad weather in parts of the country, but now with some April reports in, it seems like there may be more fundamental weakness on the single-family side. On the other hand, multifamily is just going terrific. I know you see that in Houston. Your listeners in Denver also start seeing more multifamily, and it's true in cities all over the country. On the private non-residential construction, again, Houston's kind of a leader. You've got office headquarters. You have industrial facilities. You have transportation facilities. Many other parts of the country, it's very spotty. And then on public construction, decline continuing as it has since 2010 at a gradual rate. So very uneven in terms of construction spending, and similarly with employment. Most states, most metros now adding jobs, but not every month and not necessarily at a hot rate.
Okay. All right. Well, very similar to the report. That's interesting. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Did you have a question?
I was just going to ask Ken. I've seen a story here in the last couple of weeks that was talking about the housing and saying that there was lack of demand as far as for construction materials, and also that there weren't enough lots, basically, that was one of the problems builders were having, that there weren't enough developed lots for them to be building on.
Yeah, there seem to be a number of problems affecting housing from both the demand and the supply side. On the demand side, of course, banks have tightened their lending standards from what it was a decade ago. That's probably a healthy thing. They were way too loose in some cases in letting people get mortgages. But you also have a lot more people with impaired credit, with high student debt, or without enough cash for a down payment. So that cuts into the demand for housing. And then I think you have a significant change in attitude. People saw what happened to folks who rushed into buying a home thinking they could flip it whenever they wanted, and instead they were stuck or they actually lost the house. So that naturally makes people less willing to commit to buying a house. And then more people seem to want to live in a center city or close-in suburbs, so they're not strapped into their car for a 60 or 90 minute commute each way and then having to get back in the car to go to shop or dine or for entertainment. So suddenly inner cities, central cities are growing faster than suburbs, and that generally means multifamily housing and rental housing rather than single family owner occupied. On the supply side, you do have that issue in some metro areas, perhaps many, of a backlog of trying to get land permitted and the infrastructure put in before you can build on the lot.
Wow, interesting. They're very interesting. Well, you got your answer.
See, I did.
She's been curious about that for a while. So thanks, Ken. We appreciate it. All right, folks, I tell you what, I've kind of chattered my way through the first quarter. When we this segment, when we come back, we'll ask Ken about more specifically about the NABE report. We'll get back to the end of QE, which they are on board with the fact that it's going to end this year. See what they had to say about it. So stay with us, folks. You're listening to Mike Robertson, where we bring you the wisdom of Wall Street each and every day. We'll be back with Ken Simonson in just a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Every quarter, we have a member of NABE with us. NABE is the National Association of Business Economics. By the way, you can get a summary of their highlights, because the quarterly survey tracks macroeconomic variables. And if you're out there managing your own money, you need to pay attention to this. So you could get a copy of their summary of the highlights, and that's available to the public. So just go to the NABE website. That's NABE.com, and roam your way through that. You'll be fascinated with it. It's this is quite an illustrious group of people, and we are fortunate enough to have one of them with us today. Mr. Kenneth Simonson is with us today. Ken is chief economist for the Associated General Contractors of America and an esteemed member of NABE. And just before we left the last segment, I mentioned that that in the NABE report that they had addressed QE, and it looks to me like 73% of your panelists, Ken, feel like it will end in 2014, and that's up from 57% in the first survey. So I guess they're becoming believers there.
That's right. There are two aspects to the Fed's monetary policy management. One has been this purchase every month of Treasury and mortgage-backed securities, and they've been engaged for the last several months in so-called tapering. They're still buying them, but they're reducing the amount they buy each month. And we asked these 47 forecasters, when do you forecast the Federal Reserve will end its asset purchase program? As you said, three-quarters of them, 73%, said it'll happen in the fourth quarter of this year. 16% said it would happen sooner, by the third quarter. Very few, only 9%, predicted they'd keep it going into next year. The other aspect of the program, though, is that target for federal funds rate, which controversially they've held at a 0 to 25 basis points, quarter of 1% for overnight funds, known as the federal funds rate. And so we asked, when do you forecast the Federal Reserve will raise that rate? And overwhelmingly, 86% said it would be sometime in 2015. A little over half said it would happen in the second half of next year. A third said it would be in the first half of next year.
But not so much this year, then. They're pretty much all on board that I think the Fed will keep a pretty tight rein this year. Because I know at the beginning of the year, the 10-year Treasury was at 3%. And the thought at the beginning of the year, and we talked about it during the break. I've always said that some of the best conversations we have take place during the break. But for those of you in the listening audience who were not with us in the break, Ken and I were talking about what's going on out there and about interest rates and about the economy. And it just seems to me that that we start out every year very optimistic with a lot of predictions. GDP is one of them that they come out every year, and they're predicting always the same thing. And then by the end of the year, at least for the last several years, it's turned out to be much more much less robust than they had anticipated. Same way with interest rates. They came out this year when the 10-year was at 3, and they said, well, we think it's going to go to 4. Your folks are really kind of saying, okay, they're going to hold the line on interest rates this year.
Yeah, I think the Fed is turning more economists into believers. That the forecast for the end of this year, when we asked these same folks and a few others answered then too, back in March, they were predicting the end of year 10-year Treasury note yield would be at 3.3. Now they're saying 3.15. So they've scaled that back by about 15 basis points. That, of course, is a very influential rate for mortgage rates. Long-term mortgage rates, and so that may make it more affordable for more people to go out and buy houses. That is one thing that could bring housing starts back up. Nevertheless, they have scaled back their forecast on housing starts a little bit, reflecting the sluggish market in the first 4 months of the year.
Okay, well, I'm going to skip around a little bit because there are a couple of points I'd like to get. Oil prices. Now, oil prices right now seem to be approaching an upper level of about 105, but the group was looking for something much more modest. You're about 100 in 2014, and you're actually looking for $99 a barrel in 2015.
Yeah, I would characterize these forecasts as pretty darn flat, and that's been consistent with what we've seen over the last, 6 to 12 months. I know there has been movement, but it's been all in that 10-something range from $101 up to no more than 109 and some. So a lot less volatility on West Texas Intermediate prices than we had seen in previous years. And the panel evidently expects that's going to be the story, at least in terms of the December average, that whether we see volatility in the next 6 months or in the course of 2015, we'll wind up the year right where we finished 2013 at $98 or so.
Now, one of the discussions that takes place a lot on people that I interview on the show is we have the deflation camp and we have the inflation camp. I see that your survey addressed inflation at least. And what is the outlook for inflation on the survey?
Again, pretty mild. Now, there are a couple of ways of measuring inflation, of course. The Consumer Price Index is the best known, and when you look at what happened in the fourth quarter of 2013 compared to a year earlier, very mild, only went up 1.2%. For the fourth quarter of this year, the panel expects that'll move up to 2%, but it's not going to keep accelerating. They think it'll be 2% again next year. And if you go to a broader measure like personal consumption expenditures, taking out the food and energy, same story, staying very mild, under 2%. And those are indexes that the Federal Reserve pays attention to. That's really very close to their target. They want the inflation to be just about 2%. So it doesn't look as if we're at risk of falling into deflation the way Europe is and Japan has just climbed out of. But no acceleration of inflation the way many business people had been fearing with all the debt that the government has incurred.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Now, the panelists expressed divergent views on the current threats to the global economy. How do they see this now? I don't know the question that was asked, but I guess what I would throw out is that what does the panel, what does the group think could be threats to our global economy? Because it seems like here in the United States, everything is just kind of moving right along, and there's been no trigger really to cause much of anything any direction. So I've only got less than a minute. So
okay, well, let me focus on Russia and Ukraine, because that's certainly on a lot of people's minds, and there was no consensus there about whether it will hinder U.S. growth. A third said yes, and a third said no, and the remainder were right in between. Whether it would affect economic recovery in Europe, very strong consensus that that crisis will hurt.
Well, Ken, optimistic report. It's good news. Thank you so much for bringing it to us.
As always, you're welcome.
We appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Thank you so much, sir.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.